be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law with regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I've been pondering throughout this Christmas season that the reason for the season is not simply Jesus. The reason for the season is what Jesus wants to do in us. As we prayed on Christmas Day, and as is prayed every single Mass at the offertory when the drop of water is put into the chalice of wine, Jesus, in humbling himself to share our humanity, wants to raise us to share his divinity. The whole purpose of his incarnation, the purpose of Christmas, the purpose of the sacraments, is to make us like Jesus, to make us more and more similar to his divine image. And today's readings help us to ponder what happens when we become more like Jesus, what we actually look like, what our identity is, and what our behavior is. Today's reading from the first letter of St. John, as he's speaking to both the seniors as well as the youth, he's describing what his great joy is, because in some very notable ways, they're becoming more like Jesus. First, their sins are forgiven through the Lord's own work, through the sacrament he set up. They both know the Father. Christ's mission was to come so that he would reveal the Father and the Father's love. See what great love the Father has bestowed on us in letting us be called his children. But there's something far greater than just being called his children. It's being his children. And that's what Jesus has done through this mystery. Conquered the evil one. Strong in the Word. All of these are descriptions of what's meant to occur. But there's an alternative out there. And that's what St. John gets to at the end of this passage. He wants us to learn how to love the Father like the Son loves the Father. But he says there's another love. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all that's in the world, and then he gives what's been called traditionally the threefold concupiscence, the three ways we love the world. The first is called sensual lust, carnal lust, the type of activity we think of when we hear that word lust. Second, lust of the eyes, or as it's translated here, enticement of the eyes, where we become materialist. We want to accumulate stuff. It's a terrible cancer in the United States, as is shown by the explosion of storage facilities. We don't want to give anything away. We just continue to grasp on. We want bigger houses, bigger cars, better gadgets. It's all about having rather than being. And the third, it says here, a pretentious life, traditionally named the pride of life, which is a desire to be in control, to call the shots, to lord things over others. All three totally prevent us from sharing in Christ's divinity, because Christ himself came and he is the antidote to exactly this love of the world. And he does so through what have been called the evangelical counsels. First, in response to the lust of the flesh, he's chaste. What's been surprising to me is almost every single time since I've been here in the prayers of the faithful, when there has been a prayer of the faithful about chastity, the lector hasn't known how to pronounce it. And that, I think, is because we haven't talked about chastity nearly as much as we need to, what it means to be chaste. Christ is chaste. He controls himself so that he's always capable of loving others rather than using others for his own gratification. That's what unchastity is, that we care about the needs of our flesh in such a way that we can use even those that we say that we love. That's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount would say to husbands and wives that they could commit adultery with each other if they're lusting after each other in their heart, if they're using each other for pleasure. Second is this lust to the eyes. And against that, Jesus gives us the evangelical counsel of poverty, that we're really rich in what matters to God. And we don't care about the riches of this world. To the extent that we have them, we know they're to be used for the kingdom, not for propping ourselves up as if we're something better than others because we happen to have more significant figures in our bank account. Third is pride of life. And against that, Jesus gives us and lives the evangelical counsel of obedience, that it's not about calling the shots. It's about saying with love, "Thy will be done, O Lord." These threefold lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are called by St. Paul life according to the flesh, where we seek the things of this world as if they're our real treasure. And that's what prevents us from really yearning for and receiving what Christ wants to give. The contrast to that, St. Paul says, is life according to the Holy Spirit. That's the way we're able to acknowledge the Father. That's the way sin's able to be suppressed in us so that it no longer dominates us. And that's what the gospel reading today shows us. I gave the extended gospel because yesterday, on the Feast of the Holy Family, we didn't have the first part about Simeon. But when you understand Simeon and Anna, late in their years, what really characterized their life, summarized by that expression, moved by the Holy Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. Moved by the Spirit, Anna, that daughter of Phanuel, who had been widowed for several decades, was there in the temple praying and fasting and awaiting the expectation of Israel. It's always a choice whether we're going to be led by the Spirit or whether we are going to be dominated by the concupiscence of the flesh. Christ has come into the world precisely to help us to rise from the dead, the pathway of the flesh, so that we, like Simeon and Anna, not just in coming to daily Mass, but throughout the day and throughout our life, might be docile, moved, inspired, blown by the Holy Spirit precisely in those ways that He wants to conform us evermore to His Son. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Roger, which I note because Roger Tessier is here with us for morning Mass. He was a human being who was moved by the Spirit, became conformed through Christ to God the Father, and now is in the Father's great presence. So much of a gift, not only that we're called God's sons and daughters, but that we are, and that what we will later be has not yet even come to light. But we know that when it is come to light, we shall become like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. That's what Saint Roger now experiences in heaven. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will bring us to experience that same gift with Simeon and Anna and all who have awaited the great coming of our Lord. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Amen.